Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Remember that climactic scene a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away where Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker were running from the stormtroopers in the Death Star? They were trapped on a tiny platform with a huge, gaping Death Star void at their feet. You think it's curtains for our heroes when Luke has an idea. He throws a grappling hook to an adjacent pipe, swings the two over the gaping hole, and rescues them from imminent doom. But was it Luke's superhuman Jedi skills that helped them escape, or was it something we all have? Did insight save the day? New Yorker contributor Jonah Lehrer has been looking into the science of insight. He's the author of Proust Was a Neuroscientist. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks so much for having me.
So we've talked about insight as being that aha moment Luke had in Star Wars. How would you describe insight?
Well, that's a pretty good definition. It's kind of this revelation that appears out of nowhere. And scientists who study the insight process generally define it as, you know, first you have to have a mental block. You've got to be, you know, you're being chased by some evil alien, and minutes pass and you can't figure out how to save yourself. And then seemingly out of the blue, the insight arrives, this stunning epiphany, and all of a sudden, without even thinking about it, you know how to save yourself.
You give a few real-life examples where folks used insight to save them from death. Talk about firefighter Wag Dodge.
Well, this is in 1953. It's the Man Gulch fire, one of the deadliest blazes. It killed 13 firefighters. And he was being chased by a fire going up a steep hill, a 9% grade. And fires move very fast going uphill. So this fire is moving 30 miles per hour at least. The flames are 200 feet tall. It was hot enough to melt rock. That's the devastating prairie blaze. And he was leading 13 smoke jumpers. These are firefighters who parachute in to these western wildfires. And so he was being chased by this ferocious blaze. And all of a sudden, he looks over his shoulder and realizes that he's not going to be able to outrun this fire, that the fire is moving too fast. He's not going to be able to reach the top of the hill. He screams at his men to stop. None of the men stop. They keep on running because obviously that's the most basic instinct we all have. You're being chased by a fire. The most basic primitive instinct is to run,
right,
and to run as fast as you can. Wag Dodge has the insight at that moment, and he realizes that, you know, if he can't run the fire, what he should do is start an escape fire. No one had ever started an escape fire before, but Wag Dodge, at that moment, invents the escape fire. He takes out his matches, lights the ground in front of him. The grass catches on fire, and the fire rushes uphill. He then lies down in the smoldering embers, clutches a wet cloth to his face, and tries to inhale the thin ether of oxygen clinging to the ground. The fire passes over him, because obviously fire can't burn what has already been burnt, so the fire passes over him, and Wag Dodge survives.
And he had that aha moment, but nobody else did, and I'm sure they were all confronting the same, the same problem. Why is that? Why is it that some people can have these aha moments confronting the same sort of circumstances, the same problem, and other people miss that opportunity?
That remains the mystery. Even though scientists can kind of parcel out which areas of the brain are involved in the insight process, and there's some pretty interesting areas of the brain. It seems to be mostly a right hemisphere-driven process. So that jives with, you know, the stereotype of the right hemisphere is the creative brain and the left hemisphere is the declarative brain. But they still don't know why, you know, people like Isaac Newton had so many insights. Why some people seem to just, you know, they become insight machines. That remains a bit of a mystery.
You mentioned let me put out a shout out to our listeners. We want to hear your aha moments, when you knew you met the person you wanted to spend the rest of your life with, when you came up with that successful math theorem, when a seemingly nonsensical plan saved you from extreme danger even. Give us a call at 646-778-3729. That's 646-SPUD-RAY. You can also comment on our website. Go to WNYC.org and click on the Brian Lehrer Show. You've mentioned that in your article that when folks arrive at that aha moment, they tend to bolt upright or their eyes widen.
Pupils dilate.
Yeah, there's a neurological explanation for that. You talk about gamma bursts. I was fascinated by this. Explain what that is.
Well, so gamma bursts are the highest frequency of electrical activity generated by the brain. And it's generally synonymous with what scientists call the binding of neurons. So you've got these neurons all over your brain that all of a sudden come together. They coalesce into this, you know, electrical loom. And that seems to be what happens during the insight process. It's a very distinct signature. You know, there's a scientist that UCL in London who finds that after the fact can go back and predict when an insight will happen 8 seconds before it actually occurs. So you can review someone's brain activity and say 8 seconds before they actually have the aha moment that they're going to have an aha moment in about 8 seconds. So it's a very distinct signature of brain activity. And that to me is one of the most surprising things, that when you're having an insight, your brain looks very unique. It's a very particular kind of thinking.
And how is it that researchers discovered ways to measure this? You talk about cognitive neuroscientist Mark Young Beeman. How did he devise a study to measure insight in the first place?
Well, that really was his challenge. Obviously, it's very tough to engineer an aha moment in the lab. You know, people don't have aha moments every day. So he came up, he helped pioneer a test called the Compound Remote Associate Problem Test. It's got an awkward acronym, CRAP. He tends to drop off the P when he cites it in scientific papers. But generally, it involved giving people a word problem, and this word problem can be solved. It's just a simple word problem. The word problem can be solved either through kind of struggling through it methodically. So you sound out each word one by one, or it can be solved all at once. And this happens about 50% of the time, where people are working on these word problems, then out of nowhere, it's like solving a crossword puzzle. Sometimes you kind of cycle through in your head all the possible words, and sometimes the right word just pops into your head suddenly. Mm-hmm. And so he devised this test so that he could study in a lab the difference in brain activity between an insight and more conventional problem solving.
And it may be unique to humans, but it just seems so reptilian, you know? It seems like something devised to help us get out of extreme situations where all roads seem to be blocked, right? How do we know that animals don't have these kinds of aha moments?
Well, I don't think
except for the fact that they don't say aha.
Yeah.
Eureka.
I don't think we know that. You know, it seems very, I think, mystical. You know, until recently, people blamed aha moments on the gods. This was the muses giving them insights.
Mm.
So you know, there is something inherently mysterious about how our brain just generates these epiphanies out of nowhere. And I don't think we know that animals don't have these. You know, one thing worth mentioning is that these aha moments seem in part engineered by the prefrontal cortex, which is often called the uniquely human part of the brain. It comprises about a third of our brain. It's much bigger. We have much bigger prefrontal cortices than any other animal. So there is something uniquely human about this brain area, which seems to conduct and orchestrate the insight process.
Are researchers looking into ways that we can capture insight? Will there one day be pop-ups on the internet for a pill that makes you more insightful?
That's definitely something Young Beeman and John Kunios, the two scientists I profile in the piece, are trying to do. You know, often these are things people do naturally. You know, take warm showers. One of the crucial things about generating an insight is being relaxed. When you're relaxed, as in a warm shower, going on a long walk, your brain seems to rely more on the right hemisphere, and the right hemisphere is the hemisphere that seems to be responsible for these insights. So it's, you know, it's taking a warm shower, it's going for a walk, it's you know, those first moments when you first wake up in the morning, those are great insight moments because the right hemisphere is very active, you're still a little drowsy, your brain's full of these loose associations, and that's where insights come from.
It's that weird tension.
Paradox.
Yeah, go ahead.
The other paradox is that the pills people often take to generate insights, you know, you want to focus, you want to concentrate, things like, you know, amphetamines or caffeine,
right,
those can actually interfere with insight because they make you too focused. And that's when you shut down your right hemisphere and seem to really, you know, your view of the world kind of constricts.
Yeah, it's like you have to have it's that oxymoron of relaxed focus.
Yeah, exactly.
It reminds me of the fact that oftentimes when I'm driving, I'm more likely to see deer on the side of the road than when I'm sitting in the passenger seat, able to gaze out and look at whatever I want to look at.
Yeah, you have to focus on not being focused. I talk about these scientists. They gave this test to a Buddhist monk who's very trained in meditation, and at first the monk couldn't solve any of the couldn't solve any of the puzzles. He couldn't have an insight.
Joan Allaire, I'm going to wrap that up for you. He eventually started on a real run of solving insight problems, and we will need to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us. Joan Allaire, contributor to The New Yorker and author of the book Proust, was a neuroscientist. Thank you so much for joining us on WNYC.
Thank you.